From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again and welcoming you to another Let the Bible Speak program. Today we return to Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Our subject, quite simply, is the Lord's regard for the humble and His rejection of the haughty. I trust that you'll stay tuned as in a few minutes we turn to God's Word. Some of you have already requested our booklet on the subject of election and reprobation. This is a necessary study, and one that will not only challenge you to think biblically, but will encourage you to evangelize freely. So make sure to get your copy by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. And now, here is Gail Gingery, who for many years has served as the Minister of Music here at Faith Free Presbyterian Church, singing Only Jesus.
I've found a refuge from life's care in Jesus. I am hiding in His love divine. He fully understands my soul's deep longing, and He whispers softly, "Thou art mine, only Jesus." Only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden becomes a blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. I've found a precious joy in knowing never dreamed of in this world of woe. No clouds, however dark, can dim the radiance of the heavenly light He doth bestow. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden becomes a blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. I've found a blessed hope divine in Jesus. 'Tis a day ever shining bright. It fills my earthly way with heavenly glory, and it turns life's darkness into light. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can I know my Lord is nigh.
For years, Hindus in India have been conducting a vicious campaign of violent persecution against Christians. They have beaten and even murdered believers, always on the pretense that Hindus who have been won for Christ have been forcibly converted. In 1999, in the state of Orissa, some Hindus brutally murdered an Australian missionary, Graham Staines, and his two children. The perpetrators were tried, found guilty, and sentenced. However, just recently, a judge commuted their sentence and so sent a strong message that the killing of Christians is not, after all, such a very serious crime. Now the Hindus are at it again, this time in Himachal Pradesh. On November 4, 2005, they severely beat an Indian pastor, Feroz Masih, who had won 60 Hindus for Christ. According to the pastor's son, about 10 attackers, members of the youth wing of the World Hindu Council, an organization that had been responsible for waves of attacks on Christians since the early 1990s, caused internal injuries that kept their victim in the hospital for a prolonged period. Having beaten him, they forced the pastor to sign a document saying that he would participate in a ceremony on Sunday, November 20th, in which the 60 Christians would convert back to Hinduism. Then the radical Hindus issued this threat: if the pastor or his people failed to participate in that ceremony, they would be burned to death. The memory of the death of missionary Graham Staines and his children are reminders that such a threat is not an empty one. The Hindus promised that they would arrive at the pastor's house, where he conducts his worship service, and they would have their reconversion ritual. The leader of the mission group under which Pastor Masih serves says that the mission is waiting for a police response to the death threats. Thus far, it is not at all clear that the police will take any action to give protection to the Christians. The area is dominated by a large temple dedicated to the Hindu god Shiva, and it draws large numbers of pilgrims. That all makes human protection unlikely. But the Lord is able to deliver his people from the trial, or he's able to keep them faithful under the trial. The call from the mission evangelizing that area is that we pray for the new converts who have willingly responded to the call of the gospel. The mission leader said, "I urge you to pray for their protection, and that God will surround them with his angels and turn back any violence. Please also pray for their attackers, that their hearts will be softened, and that God will work a miracle in their lives." There you have the inherent difference that the gospel of the grace of God in Christ makes in human hearts. While Hinduism fills the hearts of its devotees with a murderous hatred for people who have done them no harm, Christ fills the hearts of those whom they are targeting for death with a love for their persecutors. In this, they are fulfilling the law of Christ, who said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you."
Like Joshua, then say,
Yesterday, we started looking at the first point in the message from Psalm 138, verse 6. Remember that the subject is the Lord's regard for the humble and his rejection of the haughty. The first point we dealt with was the majestic greatness of God. Today we return to that subject, and I commence by linking this truth with what we noted last week from verses 4 and 5 of the Psalm on the ultimate and universal triumph of Christ and his gospel. So, come with us now as we join the congregation in Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, to look at Psalm 138, verse 6. The last time we were in Psalm 138, we were looking at verses 4 and 5, and noticing there the doctrine of the Psalm about the ultimate victory of the gospel, and how that all the kings of the earth will worship before the Lord our God. He is high and lifted up. He is universally worshipped. Isaiah 40 verse 9 tells us, "Behold your God." It's a text that begs a preacher to preach upon it. I think that we could well take it as a motto for our lives day by day. Certainly it's good advice. Behold your God. When you come to any passage of Scripture, the very first question that should be in your mind as you read that passage is, what does this teach me about God? The Bible is the self-revelation of God. So therefore, when we're reading the Bible, we find that it speaks on a multitude of subjects. It speaks on history. It speaks on present affairs. It speaks on the prophecy. It speaks on eternity. And everything that the Bible says is of importance. But fundamental to everything else is, what does it say about God? Behold your God. Well, this is our God. He is the Lord Jehovah, the great I Am, who is high, exalted, and lifted up. Think well upon Him. Think often upon Him. Think deeply upon Him. For nothing is better calculated to free the heart from fear and from worry than the sight of Him. You remember the psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life," or the strength of my life. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" You think of that. David is saying, I have got an understanding as far as it goes of the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the all-sufficiency and the self-sufficiency and the eternal sovereignty of the great I Am. And He is my light and He is my strength and He is my salvation. Am I going to be afraid of some little man? Am I going to be bowled over by some circumstance of time? When I am beholding the great, eternal, unchangeable Jehovah, shall I fear the crises of life when He says my times are in His hand? Shall I fear the catastrophes of nature? I think that's certainly something that Americans know a lot about these days. Well, listen to what the Lord says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath done all this?" The Lord our God has done it all. Shall we fear the enmity of men and of nations? Behold, the nations are as the drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All the nations before the Lord are as nothing, and they're counted to Him less than nothing and vanity.
The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear death? Psalm 68, verse 20 says, unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. It's a very interesting text. There are things that issue from death. Death is not the end of any man. Death is not the end of any man. In Luke 16, you have the words of Christ telling us of what happens immediately upon death. Then, in Matthew 25, you have the words of Christ that tell us what happens eternally, consequent upon death. There are things that issue from death, but they need not worry a Christian. Why? Because they belong to the Lord. One of the most beautiful pictures of Christ given in the book of the Revelation is where he says, I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys. I once heard a great preacher say there may be a million doors into eternity, but the key to every one of them is in the hand of Jesus Christ. Behold your God. But if the Lord is so great, and the psalmist certainly means us to start by understanding something of the majestic greatness of God. If the Lord is so great, then there are a couple of things that we must remember. Number one, I must therefore bring no mean thing to him as the ground of my acceptance. Isn't that what Cain did? He brought the mean thing, the thing that was under the curse, the product of his own hands, the best that he could do. And he presented that to God as the basis of his acceptance. What was wrong with it? Well, everything was wrong with it. But fundamentally, it was a sacrifice posited upon a failure to recognize the surpassing greatness and glory and the majesty of God. Cain had no overwhelming sense of the greatness and glory of God. He had never been humbled to feel himself a sinner, a worm of the dust in the sight of the Lord. And therefore, he could bring the work of his hands, a mean thing. Men are doing that to this day. The best they can do, the best religious acts they can perform. But if God is great, then there is no work of your hand or mine that can ever render us acceptable to him or lay him under our debt. But thank God, he has provided himself a lamb. He has provided himself a sacrifice. And that is what we bring to him for our acceptance. If the Lord is so great, not only do we bring no mean thing to him for our acceptance, but we must give nothing but our best to him in our service. Give of your best to the Master. So many people, and they take the grace of God as his divine gift. They take the Christ of God as his gift. They take the pardon and the peace and the promise of God, and they rejoice, at least they say they rejoice, in all this kindness of the Lord. But after that, they're saved from hell. To put it very crudely, they think they have purchased or have had purchased for them a fire insurance policy to save them from hell. But the Lord gets what's left over of their time, what's left over of their talent, what's left over of their energy. They bring to him the burnt out ends of a misspent life. And they say, I'll give that to God to be used of Him. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're saved, the one who has saved you is infinitely great and infinitely glorious. And therefore, you bring nothing but your best to Him in service. That's a good reason why you start serving the Lord as early as you can in life. Now, this is not meant to discourage those who are getting on in life and you feel that you haven't really yet begun to do anything much for God. There is always time to serve the Lord. You remember the parable of the men who were standing idle, and they were brought in to work in the vineyard. And there was the one brought in at the last hour, and he could still come in and he could still labor. There's work for you to do in the service of the King of Kings. But the earlier you start, the better. The more wholehearted you are, the better. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. The church is cursed with people who don't give it their all. The work of God demands our all. Means that you're never off duty. Doesn't matter whether you're out at your daily employment or whatever else you're doing, you're on duty for the Lord. If the Lord is so great, then He must be the all-consuming passion of the life of a Christian. You don't bring less than your best to Him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, separate it unto the gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.